Hello and welcome to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I am your host, Lunaria Gaia, and here we talk all things body image, self-esteem, your thinking and your mind. How do you connect true to you in every part of who you are? I want you to know that all of you is welcome. So sit back and relax and listen to today's episode. Sending you love. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 154 of the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I am your host, Luna Gaia, and welcome. Welcome to the place where I'm going to teach you how to feel more confident, how to overcome your self-doubt, how to fully love yourself and be your most authentic, true you. Because don't you really want that? Isn't that a space that you would love to be in, where you can just confidently go out into the world and do what you got to do? Be yourself, know who you are, speak your mind when necessary, hold yourself assertive, and maybe, just maybe, be able to go after the life of your dreams. That's what I'm on a mission to do, my loves. That's why I'm here and why your attention is so important to me and why I thank you so much for giving me your attention and your time. Because let's face it, we live in a world where there's a lot of competition for attention. You've got family, you've got friends, you've got work, you've got social lives, you've got social media, television. But here you are, my friend, spending time on you, spending time to be inspired and empowered. Here you are making choices that are aligning with your biggest, brightest, and boldest self. And I cannot commend you enough for that. It is absolutely remarkable that you would show up here to this conversation. I'm on a mission to revolutionize the way women and girls across the world, as well as anybody else who wants to jump in on the bandwagon too, see themselves and their bodies so that they can stop hiding and start thriving. It's the gift that I want to give you. And I do this through this podcast. I do this through my work. And I think that all of you would likely to agree that that's a worthwhile cause, don't you think? This is how you can help. And I would love you to help. All you need to do is go and press that follow button, that subscribe button, whatever the button is on whatever platform you are on. You know the drill. Go and hit the button. And the reason why I ask you to press the button is not because it fulfills some sort of fantasy within myself where I can be like, wow, I'm so popular. Everybody loves me. No, actually, the reason I ask you to go hit that subscribe button is because it sends a metaphorical prayer to the algorithm gods so that this podcast reaches more people. So that when people go search for more confidence, when people want to feel awakened and inspired, then this podcast will be what comes up for them. So if you could go ahead and hit that button now, if you haven't already, or maybe share it with somebody that you love, because again, all that does is share more of this message out. And today's episode is a really important one because have you ever had your emotions hijack you? Have you ever? Have you ever just gone from 0 to 1,000 in like 2.2 seconds and you don't really understand why? Like all of a sudden you're crying or all of a sudden you're yelling and you think to yourself like, how did I get here? How did I go from feeling pretty all right to now all of a sudden an emotional outburst? And then at the time you have this emotional outburst and people around you maybe freak out or they think, oh, okay, well, that was a bit disproportionate to the situation. You have that experience and then maybe you feel guilty and shamed about it. Can we talk about this emotional hijacking? Do you think it'd be useful for you if you understood how to deal with these emotions better? Look, I know it's not always pleasant. I know that it's not often wonderful to have these high-level emotions. But they're important for us to face. And on today's episode, I'm going to show you how. Because do you ever have moments where emotions just overwhelm you? Where that you seem to be out of control with them and you fear them, right? You fear that one day your emotions are just going to kind of hit you and you don't know when it's going to happen. You could be driving along, you're with the kids, you could be at work, and then kind of neck minute, you're bawling. Now, let's just not take away for any length of it that if you're a woman, if you're a menstruating woman, hormonal plays a huge impact in our emotions. Of course they do. I think for many, many years, I grew up with men in my household, and it was very patriarchal, and that's that, a symptom of society. And I used to think for a very long time that like women just made that up. I was like, oh no, women don't get like, I've had my period since I was 11. We don't get hormonal, and we're just using it as an excuse. I know, chill out. I'm well aware that was probably some internalized misogyny going on there of like, nah, don't listen to women. They don't have anything to say. We are beautifully emotional creatures, men and women alike. Women especially have this ability to feel. Men think, like their brain development is one of thinking. They are more logical. Not to say that they can't feel emotions or that they shouldn't feel emotions. Absolutely, bring it on. Nor that women can't be logical and think. Of course we do. We're amazing at it. It's just that we have this open heart. In general, women tend to be able to feel their emotions much more than men can, certainly at this point in human evolution. Because traditionally, men have gone out, and I say traditionally, I mean from like millennia, right? Men are the ones that have gone be the hunters. They've been the ones that have gone out and gotten. They've needed to be the warriors. They fight. And even though there is plenty of amazing, incredible women who now are in the military and go into war situations, the vast majority of our warriors and our fighters in the world are still men. And the reason for that is partially because they get to turn it off. If you have to kill another person in combat, empathy isn't the greatest skill at that point in time. Whereas if you're someone who is in a caregiving role looking after people, empathy is the most important thing that you could possibly have. So I don't want to discount this experience that men and women have, this way that women tend to be able to, as I said, in general, it's not everyone. It's not, of course, it's not all men. It's not all women. It can't possibly be. But if we have a look in general, women have an ability to be able to, feel a lot more. Really, we understand that women in general tend to have more connection to our emotions than men do, right? They can both be learned. What I'm saying here is that, like, we have that ability, and our emotions play a part in that. Our hormones play a part in our emotions. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean they have to rule us. Irrelevant of whether or not we have more ability to have empathy, or irrelevant of the fact that we might have hormones playing a part, you can still do something about it. And I want to show you how in today's episode. But before we do, I just want to make light. Actually, I want to bring light to the fact that there's a whole bunch of you who don't feel, that you feel quite numb, that you're sort of on autopilot, that you just kind of feel numb most of the time. You're kind of like, what emotions? Because I've spoken about that kind of emotions taking a hand, like hijacking us and being a really strong, overwhelming emotion. But if you've had various different traumas in your life, from what we might be perceived as small traumas to large ones, it can be very likely that you have shut down your emotions and that you needed to. In fact, if I come back to us as women as well, we have been taught in this world, oh, don't be emotional like a woman. If we're in the workplace, we've absolutely been told and convinced and conditioned that being our emotional selves is a bad thing. So we have stopped. We have kind of put a plug on it. We have held ourselves back from being our most emotional selves. And we can feel numb. Do you? Do you kind of feel like nothing ever gets in? You don't feel anything that you probably might like to have a feel now and again? And sometimes you might even do things just so you can feel it. Maybe you do extreme things in your life. Maybe you gym really, really hard just so you can feel something. Maybe even you get intoxicated or you overeat just so you can feel. You're trying to access the emotions that have been drummed, deeply, deeply held back with inside of you. That's equally a symptom of our emotional irregulation, the numbing, as much as it is these explosions. Because if you do numb for a long period of time, something's going to make you snap at some point in time, right? Like that 0 to 1,000 I talked about before, that 0 to 1,000 very, very often comes from the fact that we're zero, right? It has to come out somewhere. at some point in time. And it might not even necessarily come out to other people. Maybe it comes out imploded. Maybe that numbing sensation that you have with inside of yourself just becomes a loop of you beating yourself up, of feeling like crap about yourself, of telling yourself that you're not good enough. And so you don't feel good enough. You don't want to feel that. So you go back into your head again. Overthinking is a symptom of underfeeling. If you're experiencing a lot of overthinking and you're in your head a lot, it's because you're underfeeling. There are feelings inside of us that want to come out, that need to come out, that need to be expressed. But I bet that you're a little afraid of them. Are you? Think of that for yourself. Are you scared of your emotions? Do you think that if you let the floodgates open on your emotions, then poof, see you later, that you're not going to have any more capacity to do anything else? I was talking to a client about this just the other day. She's got several kids and foster children and a very busy life, as I'm sure many of us do. She's like, I can't afford to break down. I can't afford to let it all go. I can't afford to be an emotional mess. I have to keep it contained. Can you relate to this? You might let yourself have a tear here or there, but you got to get on with it. Next, like we talked about in last week's episode. There's always the next thing to get to, the next thing to go to. And so very rarely do you take the time to slow down and to recognize what's going on with your emotions. And then if you do have outbursts, they're exactly that. You end up yelling at everybody around you, or you end up, you know, bawling your eyes out at 2 a.m. with a bottle of wine, you know? And you think, where did this all come from? I look into our world and I see a whole bunch of emotional suppression. People aren't saying how they feel on a regular basis. And even though we live in a trigger world right now, right, where, well, that's hurt my feelings. People are talking about their feelings about how you made me feel that way, or I feel unsafe in this. That is definitely happening in the world right now. But are we actually dealing with the emotions? Because what I actually see that is happening is with the trigger space and the safe spaces is, rather than dealing with the emotions, we're just saying, I don't want to feel that way. Your behavior is making me feel that way. So rather than me dealing with the emotion, you have to stop the behavior. You have to be the one that's accountable for the way that I'm feeling. We're so opposed to the discomfort of especially negative emotions that we have created a world where no one's allowed to offend anybody else. No one's allowed to say something that you disagree with. And that's just causing more and more suppression. Now, I don't think we need to go out there and be unkind to people. And I certainly am not someone who wants to go ahead and I'd love to see a world where we're not spreading hate speech and thinking that other people are awful and that they are less than and that they should be harmed in whatever way. Sure, I don't want to live in that world, right? But if we are not willing to get uncomfortable, if we are not willing to face our emotions, if we're not actually going, huh, you said something to me that affected me, and now can we communicate it about it? Can we communicate? But instead, we just shut it down. No, you can't say that here. That's not okay. Rather than dealing with the crux of the issue, what we're just doing is band-aiding it by saying it's not okay for you to say it. So what does that do for ourselves? Like deep within our being, what does that say? It's not okay for you to feel what you feel. It's not okay to have your opinion. It's not okay for you to speak up, lest you hurt someone else's feelings. I got a newsflash for you, my friends. Your feelings are going to get hurt. They just are. At some point in your life, you're going to get rejected. You're going to get disappointed. You're not going to win. Somebody will offend you. People won't like you. They're not going to want to be your friends. You're not going to get the results that you want in your life. That is the nature of life. Our feelings are going to get hurt at some point in time. And we can't go out in the world expecting us to just avoid every single damn trigger that exists in the world. What's far more useful is that we learn how to deal with the emotion. We learn how to face the emotion without having to fall apart, like my client said. Which is what I told her, by the way. If when you learn how to properly deal with your emotions, which I'm going to share a little bit of on today's podcast, as much as I can within our time together, when we learn how to deal with our emotions, you don't have to fall apart. It doesn't have to be like that. They don't have to overwhelm you. In fact, I like to see our emotions like customers waiting in line for coffee. Imagine that it's you, like it's the town of you. Yeah, let's call it Lunatown. It's Lunatown. And in Lunatown, there is only one coffee shop. And everybody wants coffee. Everybody in that entire town can't get coffee from anywhere else, and Luna is the only vendor of coffee. What most people do with their emotions, their customers for the coffee, is they're just like, nah, I don't want to deal with any of you. I am going to ignore and closing my eyes and putting my head down. I'm shutting the shop because you all are too much for me to deal with. You might go, oh, I like you, happiness. You can come in. Or I like you, joy. You might be, you can come in. We might like to serve those people, but at most what we do is just completely shut down. We completely shut down. I don't want to deal with them. And then what happens? I don't want to deal with that. Well, those emotions need some damn attention, don't they? They need their coffee. They need their fix. So what do? They hijack you. They wait outside patiently, 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 and you don't open your shop of coffee, your attention. And then what do they end up doing? They break into the building and steal the damn coffee. They hijack you. You're having a reasonable day, you're cruising along, and next minute, they have just absolutely taken over you. They run riot in you, that is the coffee shop. They go bananas at you. They have their fix, and they peter off. This is what's happening. We are that coffee shop. And the longer that we stay shut to our emotions, the more that they're going to hijack us again and again and again. That's just what happens. You are that coffee shop owner. And what I want you to know that when you start to open the doors of that coffee shop, they're not all going to start rushing at you. Particularly with the tools that I'm going to teach you, you're able to go, listen up, everybody. I will get to everyone one at a time. And then you face the first one that's in front of you. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's anger. And then you deal with that one in front of you, not the 400 million that's in the line, letting them swarm all over you. Just be like, everyone's got a turn. I'm here to serve you. And then everybody in the line can relax. Everybody in your emotional line waiting for their attention from you, their proverbial coffee, can relax. All your emotions can be like, okay, cool. She's going to see us. Right. I'm going to get my fix. The ones that are at the front of the line are the ones that need your attention more urgently. Let me speak into this a little bit. Your emotions are indicators. They're communicating to you. They're a communication device. They are a tool to help you so that you can be informed about things. Each and every single one of your emotions need your attention for a specific reason. And it's your job as the pilot to understand what is all these buttons. What do they mean? What are they trying to communicate? Think of yourself like that pilot. You're in an aircraft and you get into the pilot seat and you see that there are literally hundreds of buttons everywhere and you don't know what any of them do. How likely are you to fly that plane when you've sat down and you don't know what any of those buttons do? It's not like there's a big red button that just says fly and land. There are buttons everywhere. There are levers and there are switches and you don't know what any of them mean. So from that perspective, if you don't know what any of them mean, how can you fly the plane? You can't. Let's bring that analogy just down a notch to your car. There are certain indicators on your car that you know what they mean and others that you don't, right? If your fuel light comes on your car and you see it pop up there, and you don't want to deal with it, so you either ignore it or just cover it up with a little bit of black tape, what eventually happens to your car? Yes, you run out of gas, you run out of petrol. Your car will stop working. Now, all that indicator is telling you is that you need fuel. If you look at the indicator and it comes on, you're like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't deal with the fact that there is a yellow light on my windscreen, you know, on my dashboard. What am I going to do? And you freak out about the fact that there's an indicator. You're still not going to go get fuel. So whether or not you ignore it or over-exaggerate that little yellow petrol light, either way, you're not dealing with the problem. Emotions are indicators. They need your attention. You need to decipher. Your job is to decipher. Because if you get an engine light on and you go put fuel in your car, that doesn't change the engine light, does it now? You need to learn what each of the buttons in your car does, each of the lights, each of the indicators. Some of you right now are sitting there going, I don't know what the lights in my car mean. Some of you are freaking out going, I need to go learn what's happening in my car. Maybe you do. I want you to see that you are a car, you are that vehicle, and all your emotions are doing are indicating things that something needs attention. Now, what is that attention? What is it? It's entirely up to you as the driver. You are the driver of your life. It's up to you to interpret what each of those buttons mean, what each of the indicators are trying to communicate to you. That's the reality here. If we are ignoring the indicators, how can we know what they're trying to communicate to us? We can't. Doing the sticky label over your dashboard so you don't see the engine light is not going to yield a very good result, right? In the same way that freaking out about the light but not doing anything about it also is not going to yield you a very good result. So this ignoring that we do with our emotions, this shutting down the coffee shop of that long line of customers, only causes havoc. The reason your emotions might feel really big to you right now is because they have had to get big in order to get your attention. Most of our emotions, when they're small, are really quite easy to deal with. But like the engine light, if your engine light comes on your car and you ignore it, and it becomes a red engine light, and then it becomes a flashing red engine light, the light soon will come billowing out of the front of your bonnet in the form of smoke, or your car will just bang and pop and stop. Soon you are going to have to deal with it. And our emotions are exactly the same. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with it. Do you want to deal with it when the light is low and orange and maybe you can take it to a mechanic and go figure out what the problem is? Or do you want to deal with it when your car explodes? Because they are very, very different approaches to take. And my advice to you is that we start to have a look at the emotions when they're smaller rather than when they're big. But I appreciate for a lot of you, that's probably not going to be the case because right now the emotions have been maybe ignored for a long time. And look, it's reasonable that we've ignored the emotions. It's really reasonable that we have ignored these emotions because when you think about it, there, if just say to the left side is quote, negative emotions, the left side is negative emotions, and the right side is positive emotions. We sort of sit there and go, I don't want to feel the negative, right? I don't want to feel the negative. So we just start numbing out those negative feelings. And we think what we're doing in the process of that is also numbing out we think that we just get left with all of our positive feelings. If we can numb everything on the spectrum of negativity, we are just left with all the positive stuff. But in reality, you cannot selectively numb. If you are numbing your negative feelings, 10%, 20%, 80%, whatever percentage you're numbing of your negative feelings, you are numbing your positive feelings as well. And that's why it can be really hard to feel joy. That's why it can be really hard to feel ecstasy and love and compassion and gratitude, because you're numbing half of yourself. You're ignoring all of the indicators on one side of the fence, you're also going to ignore the indicators on another side of the fence. So it's a good reason why you probably don't feel very good is because you are not facing what you're feeling bad about. I know it seems counterintuitive, but the only way out is through. When you are willing to go into the dark cave and look at your negative emotions, I say quote negative emotions, the ones that you don't want to feel, when you are willing to go into those spaces, then what ends up happening is you open up more spaces in the quote positive side of things. You get to feel better because you've expanded your emotional range. Cool, huh? So I want to give you four things on today's episode to really start to open up the space around this. And the first one is I want you to be able to label your feelings. Just identify them. Right now, is there any emotions that are coming up for you? And if you're feeling numb, it might be a little bit difficult to go, well, okay, well, maybe I'm feeling discomfort. Maybe you don't yet know that that is fear that you're experiencing. It's okay. It doesn't matter. To start labeling your emotions in a general kind of way. On a daily basis, check in with yourself. What am I feeling right now? What is this feeling? Start to label the emotion. The more that you do that, the better you're going to get at it. In Brené Brown's latest book, Atlas of the Heart, she talks about a discovery that they made in her research that when she got people to write down what emotions they've experienced in the last 7 days, the average number of emotions that someone experienced in 7 days that they could label was like 6 or 7. When there are literally hundreds of emotions that we experience, right? And it's not because they didn't experience those emotions, it's because they have no words to describe it. No labels, no identification. Like, what's the difference between jealousy and envy? What's the difference between resentment and anger? You know, getting to those nuanced kind of emotions. If this is brand new for you, then just start with the big ones. Angry, sad, happy, guilty. It's totally okay, but I just want you to start labeling. That's number one. Number two is, I want you to understand that our emotions will come in a wave. That big, heavy, strong, like, quote, negative emotions. Positive ones do it too, but you'll be less scared about the positive ones. The negative emotion, just say it's anger, it'll rise within you like a wave. It's going to come up and it's going to peak. What most of us do is ignore it. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to feel it. It feels uncomfortable. So we go do something to distract ourselves from that. We eat or we drink or we stay busy or we whatever. We distract ourselves. And what ends up happening is we're blocking the wave of forming. But if we were brave enough to let the wave come up, it'll peak. It'll be at about 10. Like you want it to get to a 10 where you really feel the emotion will be super uncomfortable. It'll actually start to peter off. It'll actually go run itself the whole way to shore if you let it. And that emotion has been up inside of you. It's been witnessed and it's been released. It's been valued. It's been honored rather than waiting in line outside banging on your door. So understand that. Number three is I want you to start talking to your emotions. So once you know that it's sadness, treat it like a kid. If you got a kid banging on your door, chucking a tantrum, right? It's only chucking a tantrum because it wants your attention. Speak to the emotion. Hi, sadness, I can hear you. What's going on for you? What do you need right now? Sadness will be like, I need a hug. Okay, well then go ahead and give yourself a hug. That's going to take practice. I understand this, but I want you to start talking to your emotions. And then number four, finally here, when you start to talk to your emotions and you get information, then use that information. It may just often be that, you know, the emotion just needs to be seen. It just needs to be heard. It just needs to be validated. But in other times, something like anger needs more boundaries. Envy shows you what you want. Sadness might need more tenderness. All of our emotions have something to say to us. And when we start to get to know them, we then get to take that information and decide what action needs to be taken. Just like in your car, you get to decide what action needs to be taken based on the indicators that are there. If you don't know that the petrol light means get petrol, so instead you turn left, it's not going to get you anywhere. So I really want you to start to get to know your emotions and get to know yourself in a really deep kind of way and understand that they're not going to be as scary when you talk to them when they're small. as they will when they're big. You start doing this on a regular basis and your entire life is going to transform. I just know it will. As always, thank you for being here. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Or if you're potentially interested, to go check out my book, Perfectly Imperfect. It's your complete guide to loving yourself and loving your body. It's an Amazon number one bestseller. I recorded it on Audible as well. So if you want something in your ears, beyond these podcasts, of course, then please feel welcome to go do that. I'd love to hear from you too. Leave me a voice note or shoot me through an email at loveyourself@moreconfidence.com.au. It's an absolute pleasure to be here and be your host. I love you and I hope that you love you too. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I hope you feel more confident, more self-assured, and ready to go tackle the world's problems and maybe kick ass in some of your dreams. If you haven't already, I would love for you to like and subscribe, follow, and maybe leave a review so that other people know how to find this awesome podcast too. If you're wanting to sink your teeth into something even more juicy, my number one best-selling book, Perfectly Imperfect, Your Complete Guide to Loving Yourself and Loving Your Body, is now available on all good bookstore sites, both in print, digital, and I narrated it for Audible as well. If you think the coaching or maybe one of my courses is for you, why not head to www.moreconfidence.com.au and get in touch and see if we can talk. And of course, you can find me all across the social medias. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, which is where you're probably listening now, or maybe even here on the podcast platform. Sending you big love and wishing you a beautiful day.